football fans, it is time for another Friday Night Football preview brought to you care of Women's Football Talk Continued. And we are going to have a great show today. We've got four members of the Kansas City Tribe coming up later on, and should be an enjoyable experience. I know that when I talked with those ladies, I cracked up several times, and I think you will too. First, we're going to run down the scores from last week. We had the Los Angeles Amazons beating the Tucson Monsoon. We had the New York Nemesis won over the Blitz. The Pittsburgh Passion beat the Connecticut Crushers. The DC Divas beat the Philadelphia Firebirds. The Kansas City Tribe upset the Chicago Force. The Aftershock played the Fuel, and that was a six-man game, and the Aftershock were victorious there. The Miami Fury was defeated by the Dallas Diamonds. The Erie Illusion the Erie Illusion beat the Manchester Freedom. Now, that was one I had predicted the other direction, but the Erie Illusion is on the website. You can look that up. Beat them in the last few minutes. The Chattanooga's Locomotion beat the Clarksville Fox. The Southern California Breakers beat the New York Menace. The Boston Militia beat the Baltimore Nighthawks. Here's another one I got wrong on Palm Beach Punishers. Lost to the Orlando Mayhem. The California Quake beat the Modesto Maniacs. The California Queens, they lost to the Carolina Phoenix. And that's the third one I called wrong. Justice beat the Rebels. That's Southern Maine Rebels, Jersey Justice. The New York Sharks beat the New England Intensity. And the Sacramento Silence beat the Corvallis Pride. Tennessee Valley Tigers beat the Louisville Nightmare. And the Wisconsin Warriors were victorious over the Vixens. Now, looking forward to this week, you got quite a few great games coming up. And one of the things that we are starting to see formulate are some pretty stable situations for the playoffs. Let me touch base on that. In our Eastern Division, our Eastern Conference, we've got the Boston Militia, the DC Divas, the Pittsburgh Passion, and the Diamonds. Now, it's pretty certain that those are the four teams that we're going to be seeing. They do have some games to play. There may be a little movement there. Then in the Western Conference, we've got the Seattle Majestics and the Los Angeles Amazons, the Kansas City Tribe, and the Chicago Force. Both of those are in the Midwest Division, and like I said, the Kansas City Tribe beat the Chicago Force, so they kind of took things in their own hands. Their next two opponents are beatable, and Chicago faces the Detroit Demolition. Now, one of the things that happened earlier in the season, for those of you who are not following every week, the Detroit Demolition beat the Chicago Force in May. So that game could be a huge factor and could decide where teams go and how the standings are. Another factor that could play into this is the Los Angeles Amazons do play the Sacramento Sirens. Now, the Sirens have a long-standing strong team there in the Sacramento area. That's another one of the California teams, and that will be a good game. So the playoffs are going to be pretty exciting as we look forward to that. Now, as far as the schedule for this particular week, we're looking at week 9, and the Explosion plays Tennessee Valley Tigers. That one's definitely probably going to go towards the Explosion, without a doubt. The Detroit Demolition play the Erie Illusion. Both of those two games, I think, are Tier 1 teams facing Tier 2 teams. The Diamonds play the Houston Energy, and that's probably going to go with the Diamonds. Those of you who know anything about Dallas football, they're monsters. And that's in a good way as far as football goes, unless you're playing them, that's for sure. The Louisville Nightmare, they are going to play the Clarksville Fox, and that game will probably end up going to the Fox. Let me look at my roster here. No, I take that back. Yeah, we'll say the Fox on that one. Sorry, I should have had that. My notes a little handier there. The Holyoke Hurricanes, they're just barely above the CA Vipers. I don't really know if I could even predict that particular game. The New England Intensity will probably easily defeat the Southern Maine Rebels. The Fury and the Mayhem play. Now, that's probably one of the better games that we're going to see. The Fury have a rating of overall rating of 2.188, and then the Mayhem are, let's see where they at. Mayhem, oh, that's going to be an easy game. That's the Tier 2 team again. I'm sorry, I'm getting my, sometimes I get the WFA games. Their Orlando team is pretty strong. The New York's Nemesis will probably fall to the Boston Militia. That would be an upset if they didn't. The Nighthawks will probably beat the Connecticut Crushers. The Passion will certainly have a fairly good time beating the Philadelphia Firebirds, I would say. The Philadelphia Phoenix play Cape Fear Thunder, and they should take them down. The Modesto Maniacs and the Corvallis Pride, that's probably going to be a fairly good game. Corvallis is sort of a small team now. They're ranked slightly above the Maniacs, so we'll go with Corvallis, even though they're a little bit small. The California Quake should be able to defeat the SoCal Breakers. The DC Divas play the New York Sharks, and my prediction is that the Divas will take that game. The Majestics will probably have a fairly easy time defeating the Shockwaves. They've played them several times this year. And the Kansas City Tribe traveled to Wisconsin, and that they've already beaten the Warriors once this year, so that looks to be a win for them. And the Minnesota Vixen play the Iowa Crush, and the Iowa Crush is a fairly strong team for Tier 2, but they will probably fall to the Vixen. So that's going to be what we are looking at as far as schedules. When we look at some of the statistics in the league, I'd like to start out with team offense. So let's look at some of the receiving. That's one of the outstanding things that we've been talking about, one of the reasons why I want to have the Tribe on. The offense that they have managed to accumulate has just been unbelievable. Talking to them on the show, and the stats that are listed here on the website, I know that Mindy White said that she had just updated those, and I'm not reading them to be completely updated here on the website, but they're close to 2,000 yards overall for the season, and that's just in the six games. So they're definitely raking up the yards. When we look at the people who are receiving leaders, they have at least three people up here that are in the pack. We've got Rusty Sauer. She's number four on the list. Tegan Stewart is number seven on the list. And then I think there's another one. Let's see. Maybe not. Should be. I think there's, when we talked last night, there's another one that should be in the pack there with over 300 yards, but I don't see them. I don't think that they've updated their stats. Leading the way as far as the total yards received is Tegan Stewart from the Kansas City Tribe. And she's got 441 yards. And then Rusty Sowers has 399. So both of those are fairly close, if not have they've surpassed the 400-yard mark. Sherry Dyack from the, I think she's from the Wisconsin Warriors. And then Patricia Harper, she's one of the force players. She's got about 400 yards. Now, whenever you've got good receivers, you have got to have some good quarterbacks. And, again, that Chicago Force-Kansas City game was such a good matchup because the two leading quarterbacks in the league are right there. Two of the leading quarterbacks in the league are right there. So that's Jenny Schmidt of the Kansas City Tribe, and she's thrown about 1,900 yards for passing. Sammy Grisafi, who's played somewhat randomly this season, she had an injury, I think it was in like the second or third game. She got 831 yards. The actual person in that's in second place is Karen Mulligan. Now, Karen plays for the Sharks, and they have quite a history of being an air ball team. They get it up there pretty often. So we got three quarterbacks that are either past the 1,000 mark or getting close to it. And like I said, I think Jenny Schmidt alone is close to 2,000. Actually, that didn't even include their rushing yards when I gave you that figure earlier on. Looking at some of the rushing, Let me find that on the, usually I print all these things out, so you're going to have to bear with me. I'm going to be a little bit less efficient this particular show. Jerika Henson, she plays for the Queens. She's got quite a few yards built up, over 1,000. So she's our rushing leader overall. We've got a couple that are at the, let's see, we've got one at the 700 mark. That's Steph Samuelson. She plays for the Intensity. And then right after her, we got a couple in the 600s, high 600s. Vanessa Santillian from the Breakers, and she has 666. A little above her, 668, is Jenny Ann Kwan, and she's from the Sacramento Sirens. Let me see if I've got any other 600. Akima Pickett. Now, Akima plays for the DC Divas, and she's right around the, she's at the 600 mark. And again, I have to give my little disclaimer. I can only go with what's on the website. And these are the ones that are there. The LA Amazons, Ashley Moody, I'm pretty familiar with that team since I call some of their games. They're a local team here in LA. She's got 500 yards. And I know some of these statistics are out of date because the Amazons have several rushers that would be up into the high, high hundreds, probably 600 fairly easily. But that is a little bit of the statistics on the offensive side. Now let's kind of go back, you know, my defensive push. I love defense. You've got to look at that. Now, Amber Moffitt-White of the L.A. Amazons, she's had 7 interceptions, 173 yards, and she's got 23 tackles. Now, that does not appear to be very up-to-date because I talked about her interceptions not too long ago. Katrina Ricketts from the Queens, she's also had a pretty good season so far, with 103 yards after off of 3 interceptions, and then Kelly Jordan has had 3 interceptions. She plays for the Vipers, also with 100 yards back on that. Leading in tackles for the league is Holly Stevens. She's leading by 2. Let me see if she plays for the Crush. And then really close to her is Sherry Dyack from the Warriors, and she has a total of 56 tackles. Now, in talking, again, I know some of these are out of date because there were several players on the tribe that also were ranked up there with quite a few tackles, and I don't seem to have my data here right now. But you will hear some of those statistics in the show later on. And I can't thank the tribe enough for making the effort to be on the show, so I appreciate that. That appearance from them. Now, moving back to the WFA, I'm happy to open up another page here, so I'm going to be stuttering for a second. The WFA, will take a look at their games from last week, and I can give you some information and some scores. I don't know if you can hear the papers fluttering around here, but the papers are just flying. As you know, the WFA, they're a week behind. So this is week 7 for them, and there were 14 games. The Baltimore Burn lost to the Philadelphia Liberty Bells. The Birmingham Tiger Cats lost to the Keystone Assault. And I think the New Jersey Titans, I think that was a forfeit. It says that they beat the Cyclones, but I don't think the Cyclones are playing anymore. The Kentucky Karma are rolling right along. They beat the Sizzle 22-0. The Cleveland Fusion beat the Pittsburgh Force 34-16. The Toledo Reign beat the Dayton Diamonds. And the Memphis Belles overpowered the Emerald Coast Barracudas. The Jacksonville Dixie Blues beat the Gulf Coast Riptide. That was a fairly close game, 49-36. I thought the Dixie Blues would have that a little bit more handily. Kansas City Storm lost to the St. Louis Slam by a very huge margin, 88-0. The Missouri Phoenix lost to the Iowa Thunder, 65-0. So we got quite a few donuts in this WFA league still popping up. Scores seem to be getting a little closer, although there are a few Tier 1, Tier 2 teams that those games that have a huge difference, but since we have that Tier 1, Tier 2 differentiation, it seems like it kind of is a little bit more predictable. So maybe the WFA is going to want to move towards that direction. But anyway, the East Texas Cybercats lost to the Houston Cyclones. But that, again, I think that's a forfeit. The Lone Star Mustangs finally were able to beat the Outlaws. The Austin Outlaws beat them two times in a row, and now the Mustangs are whooping up on them, getting a little bit of revenge. California Lynx, I believe, their game was a forfeit win, and then the Las Vegas Showgirls beat up heavily on the Phoenix Prowlers, 47-0. Let me go through some of the standings in this league. I'll see if they're updated. I tried to print off some information, and it didn't appear to me as though any of it was updated. Let me look. Yeah, it looks like they've gone through and updated it now. So the Philadelphia Liberty Bells, they are leading the National Conference, the Northeast Division. They're 5-0. And then the West Michigan Mayhem, that's why I get that Mayhem team mixed up in the IWFL, because of the West Michigan Mayhem. Anyway, the Mayhem and the WFA, they're 5-0, and they're leading the National Conference Central Division. In the Mid-Atlantic Division of the National Conference, we've got the Columbus Comets, and they are 4-0, followed closely by the Kentucky Karma. They're 4-1. So those two teams are battling it out. We've got the Jacksonville Dixie Blues with 4-0. The Gulf Coast Riptide are 4-1, and again, they just lost to the Dixie Blues this past week. The St. Louis Slam, that previous matchup there, or the previous statistics I gave you on the Jacksonville Dixie Blues and the Gulf Coast Riptide, they are in the American Conference, the Southeast Division. Now, the Midwest Division in the American Conference, that's the St. Louis Slam, they're 4-0, followed closely again by the Iowa Thunder. Same number of wins with 4, but 1 loss. The Outlaws are still ahead of the Lone Star Mustangs in the American Conference, the Southwest Division. Austin Outlaws have 1 loss, while the Lone Star Mustangs have 2 losses. Now, I believe, let's see what happens if I click this. No, nothing. All right. The Cyclones are 2-3 in that same division. But let's look and see in the, here we go, the Pac, the Pacific Division of the American Conference. We've got the Las Vegas Showgirls, they're 4-0, and then we've got the California Lynx, are 3-1. So those are the standings there. Now, the last time I looked at the statistics for the WFA, it did not look to me like they had done much with those whatsoever, but we'll look again and see here. I'll run through the top five just to give you an update and see. I don't really see that they've done a lot of changing, but we've got the Mayhem with a total of 221 points, and then followed closely with 216 of the Iowa Thunder, and then I think it's the Gulf Coast Riptide with another 200. I missed the Slam. The Slam are actually at 228, so that would explain why we have a lot of offense from some of those teams. The Indiana Speed have 1,668 total yards. The Thunder has 1,900. The Assault is in the 1,800s. The Riptide are at 18. The Mayhem are at 18. So we've got quite a few teams that are racking up the offensive yardage. The team with the most first downs is the Riptide. It might be the Force. So looking at individual statistics here, we've got team passing. That statistic is led by the Mayhem. And then team rushing, let's see, if it's updated, it's the Iowa Thunder with 1642. The Mayhem has passed for 800 yards. So looking a little bit further down, the rushing, let me see if I can give you the runner-up. It looks like it's the Riptide, and they have 1,340. And the runner-up on the passing side looks like it's probably the Barracudas with the 577 yards. Individually, we're looking at the Mayhem have that really strong quarterback, Jody Marpar. And she is at 787 yards for the season so far. And let's see, what did I switch? I think that would be, what is it, a game six or so? Five or six, I guess it is. Probably five. And then she is followed by Jennifer Hull of the Mustangs, and she's accumulated 555 yards. And then we've got quite a few teams that have quarterbacks that are in the 400s. Ella Williams has 460. She plays for the Riptide, the Dixie Blues quarterback, Brantley Mack. She has 474. Rachel Fisher of the Assault, 479. So we have quite a few folks that are racking up quite a few yards. Now, as far as the individual rushing, Jennifer Bowling of the Thunder has 1,003. Right under her is Lakeisha Johnson of the Riptide with 790. Tarina Henley of the Force has 738. Leah Cassis of the Speed is 706. And Jessica Plunkett, the Bells, she has 702. Receiving, we've got Virginia Hicks with 416 yards for the Speed. Danielle Doherty of the Mayhem has 323 yards. And then we've got a couple in the 200s. We've got Dominique Jones, the Riptide, with 233. And then we have Jennifer Ann Keela of the Showgirls with 200. And Brittany Satterwhite of the Mustangs with 210. And that was catches. And then, let's see, do you have anybody that's further ahead on rushing? It doesn't appear as though we do. Now, leading with tackles, we have Sharon Tatum of the Bells with 88 tackles. We have Cindy Pearson of the Thunder with 71 tackles. Jennifer Plummer of the Mayhem has 57 tackles. Kathy Ferrari has, let's see, Kathy Ferrari played for the Force. She's got 56 tackles. So, and Cindy Tappet has 53 tackles. So we've got a number of statistics starting to accumulate here for the WFA. That's about it. Now, again, I've got to say this one more time. Having just had a conversation with one of the teams for the IWFL and having looked at these statistics for the WFA, I have to say that it is so important that these teams get their statistics in. And even knowing, for instance, specifically the Kansas City Tribe, I know that Mindy White expressed to me that she had taken a lot of time and updated their statistics, and still they don't seem to be showing up here on the website. Now, that, of course, brings me to the point that sometimes I misread you, so I'm not without chance for error. But let me take this opportunity to, first of all, let you know that we have great guests coming up here on the show. And secondly, that if you are interested in finding out a little bit more about how to get a hold of us here at Women's Football Talk Continued, there, just wherever you've logged on to the website, there is a web address. Contact us there. We are not going to be having a show next week, so you will definitely be able to skip the Friday night preview show next week. We've got some people on vacation, but then we will return. So let me take this opportunity to thank you for being here. I will not be speaking at the end of the portion where we talk to the Kansas City Tribe. The Kansas City Tribe is destined for the playoffs, and this weekend they upset the Chicago Force, score of 14-30. And so with that, we will segment into that particular part of the show. So have a great weekend and enjoy some football. Take some friends to the game. Thanks a lot. Okay, this is Deb Gantz coming to you from California and sort of a little bit from Kansas City. I have on the show four of the ladies from the Kansas City Tribe. One at a time, would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
This is Mindy White.
This is Rusty Sowers.
Jenny Schmidt.
And Megan Finrod.
Welcome to the show. I appreciate you guys joining us. And I gave you a little warning about the first question. I feel like I'm stepping into, a pack of friends here. Can you guys elaborate on that a little bit? Do you guys know each other very well?
Well, a couple of us go way back. This is Mindy White. Rusty Sowers and I actually grew up together, so we've known each other for about 25 years. We've known Jenny for about 10 years, and thankfully Megan came into our lives about 3 years ago so she could help our football team out.
Megan, they're talking about the fact that you have an incredible size. Can you share with us how tall you are?
Oh, I rock like a steady 5'1", 135. So I do all right for myself.
Well, nobody would know that from your stats at all.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I take that as a compliment, I think.
No, it's definitely
fairly confident.
A compliment.
I'm fairly confident she's the only 5'1" strong safety in the league.
You know what? I have looked at a lot of rosters and a lot of personnel, and I think she might be the only 5'1 player in the entire women's football history.
There you go, Megan.
Yes, I'm in the record books or something.
Yeah, and it's definite that she's the only one with 50 tackles and over 300 yards rushing.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a birthday here coming up soon, right, Megan?
That's right, Monday, June 8th. It's birthday
right.
Weekend for me, so you get this big win on Saturday and take my birthday bus home.
All right, well, we're not going to pick on you too much more, but I tell you, your stats are incredible, even if you weren't such a small packed powerhouse. But let's talk quickly about the fact that you guys have totally taken a hold of this conference that you guys are in, and overpowered a Chicago Force team. Who wants to tell me about that?
Well, I think you got to give a lot of credit to Jenny because she's certainly the all-star of our team right now, making all the right decisions at all the right times. You can't run a spread offense without a quarterback, so we certainly lucked out with that.
Okay, so Jenny, let me set things up here a little bit. You guys played Chicago the mm-hmm. first part of May, and you lost 28-6, mm-hmm. and then less than a week ago you won 30-14. So it's definitely an offensive thing. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened?
Well, I think the first time we met them up in Chicago, early in the game, we just weren't making the routine plays that we'd made, you know, pretty much all year up to that point. Just not even spectacular plays, just simple passes or stupid penalties, just kind of consistently throughout the game. We just weren't playing up to our ability pretty much that whole game. And they're a good team, and you can't make dumb mistakes against them. You have to be consistent yourself. And I felt like this game, you know, we made the plays that we needed to make and that we're capable of, and I think that was the biggest difference.
Well, to quote Mindy, if I can, she said you guys didn't lose, or Chicago didn't beat you. You guys kind of beat yourselves. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, at the end of the first quarter, it was 0-0, and then I guess with 12:24 in the second quarter of the first half, you guys went up. Can you tell me about that first touchdown? Do you recall what happened in that one?
Yeah, I remember real clearly. It was a 4th-and-1 play, and I saw that Chicago pretty much was just going to blitz a lot of people. And Rusty had one-on-one, and pretty much just told her to run a go route and hit her on the go route, and it was over after that, touchdown.
Okay, so Rusty caught the first TD then?
Yep.
Okay. Rusty, your stats show that you're averaging, I think it's close to like 50 yards a catch.
So stupid.
I don't think that's probably correct.
Well, now I'm just going by the stats, and to be completely honest with you, this would absolutely not be the first time that I've been inaccurate just looking at the website for stats. Sometimes they're updated, sometimes they're not. But you're definitely the long ball receiver on your team, would you say?
I'm slot receiver, so I do a lot of slants and stuff through the middle, but we certainly connect on a lot of long balls, yes.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of a couple outside receivers that's kind of their specialty. I would say Jenny would probably agree. But overall, we just all really play well together and have a great quarterback. So.
Are you sure you weren't looking at Tegan Stewart? Because she is averaging about 50 yards per catch. I think Rusty's average is closer to about 15. Maybe you just looked at the wrong line on that.
It's quite possible. I'm nearing the fossil stage in my life, so I can I'm exaggerating. I'm not quite as old as your oldest player, though. I noticed you guys have somebody that's 47 on your roster.
Yes, we do.
We do. You guys take this game so seriously. It's going to be very difficult to make people enjoy this interview, I tell you. But you do, yeah. No, really, seriously, and I don't know who asked that question, but Laura Leeds, she's getting close to 50.
Yes, she is. And actually, she got hurt a couple games ago, so she is not actually going to finish the season out with us.
Okay, well, we don't want to talk about who's still playing on your roster. We want you to keep that 29 that 29 player roster. That looks more intimidating than 28 or 23.
You know, we suited up 25 people against Chicago.
I didn't know that, but that's impressive.
Yeah, yeah. We suited up 25, and that's what we're going to hopefully ride the season out with. All that we're going to do is go down from there. We're not going up. So
wow.
It's what we have, and that's what we're working with.
Now, does the IWFL cut off when you guys can add players?
They don't. The rule is that they have to be registered for 30 days prior to participating in a game, or there's a fine imposed against you. But theoretically, you know, we could still add people at this point in time, but we don't have any plans to do that. We seem to be doing a pretty good job with people that we have.
Well, I'm not sure. This is just conjecture on my part, but I think if you four suited up, you'd have a pretty good chance against a couple of the teams that are in the league. you might need a couple other people. I don't know, maybe Brittany, and let's see. We've got a lot of tackles. Let's see.
Lane. We pick Lane.
Sounds like our flag team.
And Angela seems to get a few tackles. But you guys, I mean, your stats are amazing. You guys could be making millions and millions of dollars if you were boys.
Don't we wish.
Yeah. Instead, we just spend all our money playing football.
Wouldn't it be fun? Well, Jenny, you made some money off of professional sports. Can we go to that for just a second? You played basketball for a couple years, right?
Yeah, I played for about 4 years after college.
And how did in Denmark, what was it like when you were in Denmark?
Oh, it was amazing. You know, I was literally 21 years old just out of college, and you go live in a foreign country for 6 months and get paid to play a sport, you can't really ask for much more than that.
I bet it was an eye-opening experience. Do they support basketball there like you do here? What's it like? I mean, is there a cultural difference as far as the women playing sports?
There is. I think it's kind of similar to here in different spots, different cities. It's more popular than others. Denmark in general, it was all right. I mean, they weren't crazy basketball, but there was in certain cities there was a lot of support for it.
Well, there's a difference in the way different areas support all kinds of sports. I mean, you look at Kansas City, it's totally a football town, and then I'm from Wichita, Kansas, and they dropped the football program at that college and haven't even looked back. So, yeah, I can understand how you could say that. Let's go back to our list of questions. Can you give us a little history on the Kansas City Tribe? I know that you guys have been playing in the IWFL for what? Let's see, 1, 2, 3, about 5 years now. This is your fifth season. Is that true?
Well, this is the Tribe's second season. A number of us actually used to play for another team here. They have since gone to another league, the NWFA, and then now the WFA. And the majority of us, both players and coaching staff, stayed on with the Tribe and the IWFL because we really felt like it was the best league for us, had the best competition, and we just kind of wanted to do things a little differently than prior ownership had done, and we're pretty happy with the way that's turned out. So we're actually only in our second season.
Oh, really? Because the IWFL shows, well, maybe I wasn't even paying attention to Kansas City. Was that, let me look here at my information. It's storms.
It was the storm. It was the storm the first 3 years.
Okay. So you started in 08 or 07?
We started in 07, but 08 was our first season.
Okay,
so we're just in our second season now.
So that 6-3 season wasn't any of you? That was
it was Rusty and Megan and I.
Uh-huh.
But we were playing under a different name.
Okay.
It was just a different name.
All right, then. And we don't want to talk about that. Was like a pretty good season for you guys, though.
It was a good season for us. I mean, I'll just be quite honest that it was more a product of the competition that we played than our overall talent. We're by far the most talented and best coach team that we've ever been.
So this is the season that you guys really are taking control and showing something of yourself?
Yeah, this is a season where I think our record reflects our talent level and our actual ability to generate wins as opposed to just a lack of a talent pool that we've played against.
Okay.
And I think more than anything, playing Chicago 25 people, I mean, majority of us were in the entire game, had fresh legs in and out the entire time, and we were extremely exhausted and just kept pushing ourselves and pulled from within and pulled out a victory.
Now, who was that? Was that Rusty?
That was Rusty.
Okay. So you guys play, how many of you, obviously you four, well, three of you go both ways. How many of the players on a team go both ways? Would you say like half or more?
Well, there's about 8 girls that play on both sides of the ball.
Okay.
And then, you know, obviously we have some, none of us go both ways 100% of the time. We try to bring in, you know, subs and steal some plays here and there, but the majority of us are playing both sides of the ball.
Okay. And that was that Mindy?
Yeah, that was Mindy.
Okay. I'm just trying to make sure I know your voice is a little bit better, so, yeah. Well, you guys have 10 rookies. Would you say that there's a particular rookie who's starting to contribute?
Definitely.
A couple of them.
What was that?
Keegan Stewart, in particular on offense, and then Reagan Campbell plays our wheel linebacker, and she's doing a great job also.
And then Magdalene Ogufule, she is playing offensive guard and defensive end, and she's really giving us a great push up front.
Oh, yeah, she's got quite a few tackles, too.
She does. She's been doing a really good job getting some pressure on the quarterback.
Okay,
she's
so
a beast.
Keegan Stewart's a rookie, huh? Oh,
yes,
yeah,
she is.
And she's over 400 yards on receiving.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what was the third rookie that you were talking about?
Reagan Campbell.
Campbell, okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's probably a little over 200 now and 40
mm-hmm.
tackles.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you guys, you must have some pretty good coaching. Are you guys coaching as well as doing everything else? I feel like if you go to Kansas City, there's going to be these banners all over the place about, you know, the four of you. But go ahead and tell me what you want to do.
We've been really lucky in the fact that we talked one of our former coaches out of retirement. He's actually responsible for this offense that we're running now. You know, we did pick up some extra talent. You know, we picked up Reagan and Keegan this year. But we were running a more traditional offense last year, you know, a power eye, trying to run the ball, just impose our will on people. And I think you can see on paper that we're not the size of team that's going to impose our will by running the ball down people's throats. I mean, like Megan said, she's 5'1 and 135, so that's just really not going to get things done. So my big thing this year in the offseason was I wanted to find somebody that would write an offense for us because we had so much talent and so much athleticism that just was being underutilized. You know, Rusty was our starting running back last year, and she's 5'6", but she's like 125, so that wasn't getting things done either. Our players were just getting beat up. So, you know, I wanted to spread the ball out, spread defenses out, because we've got a lot of athletes. And so Courtney Porter came back on as our offensive coordinator, and he's done an amazing job. I mean, we're averaging over 400 yards a game. I think that speaks for itself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that you're Super Bowl bound when you get over 400 yards a game. Yeah. That's the thing. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to have the show is because we've got so many outstanding female athletes that are playing this game,
And the statistics speak for themselves. You're absolutely right. And that was Jenny that was speaking that, right?
No, that was Mindy.
Oh, Mindy. Okay, so you asked Coach Porter to write you guys an offense, and he just came up
with...
Yeah,
I was like, this is what I need you to do. This is who I have. And he used to coach us, so, I mean, he had a pretty good idea of the talent level. He took a little hiatus from the game, and we convinced him to come back. And so it was a very good thing for us.
Okay. Well, let's just digress. Speaking of time, you guys put in a whole lot of time. What do you guys do? What are your day jobs?
This is Rusty. I have, like, a small painting company, and I do some subcontract work.
This is Mindy. I'm an attorney.
This is Megan. I maintain a rental property.
This is Jenny. I'm the general manager of a personal training studio.
Okay. So those are all things that take a 40-hour work week easily, pretty much. How often do you guys practice? What's your, like, two nights a week plus weekends? How often do you guys practice?
Yeah, we have practice two nights. This is Mindy. We have practice two nights a week, and then on off weeks, we usually practice on weekends. Otherwise, obviously, we have games.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing if you really see what the athletes put in. It's amazing the time that you guys put in. We haven't talked too much about what you guys think the most difficult part of football is, but, well, maybe we have for Megan. But each one of you can take a second and think about that, and I'll blab on for a minute, give you some think time, but what is it that you think is the most demanding part of the game? Mindy, you seem to have your hand in almost every part of it. How long did it take you to put in just the managerial part of it? Because that's aside from the athletic part of it.
Well, thankfully my day job is very understanding, but I promise that for every hour I work and, you know, earn a legitimate paycheck, I'm putting two in for football. It's a never-ending process. And that's the most difficult thing for me, is just the time draw. Thankfully I've got, you know, some other supportive owners, and the girls are great, but the time factor is just, it's excruciating, you know, begging people for sponsorships and finding practice facilities and, you know, just making all of our road trip plans, and it's a huge time job. So, I mean, the only thing that makes it worth it is getting to play at the end of the day, and then, you know, obviously the women that I'm sitting in this room with, the relationships that you develop, I mean, it's just incredible.
Well, you guys, I can tell you guys are talking to each other without ever saying a word, and I'm, 1,500 miles away. So it's definite that you guys are awesome friends. I mean, you can read it in the articles. It's just obvious. But, Jenny, how about you? What's the most difficult part of it for you?
I think what makes it most difficult is actually our lack of practice time. I'm coming from a mindset of, or a sport like basketball where you practice pretty much almost every day. And with a sport like this, with football especially, that counts, and, you know, it's so important, timing and knowing where everyone's supposed to be and their job. And with our limited practice time, I'm real proud of everyone that we've been able to come together and be as effective as we have been this year with the limited amount of practice time that we get with women's football. So I think that's the most difficult part of it for me, is getting everyone on the same page with the amount of time that we have.
Now, the quarterback is supposed to be, and I'll get back to you, Rusty, and Megan also. Just hang on for just a second. It gives you a little more think time. But Jenny, the quarterback's supposed to be, like, you know, the head honcho of the offense. And when we were talking a little bit earlier, you said you were the least talkative. Is it hard for you to step up and be that leader on the offense, or is that pretty easy for you?
I don't know if it's been difficult. I think that I just mostly try to lead by example, and if I need to say stuff, I'll say whatever I feel needs to be said. But I'm not just going to go and run my mouth for the sake of running my mouth, or just to be so they can hear me speak. If anything, I'm just going to go out and work hard, try to set an example, and then, you know, if something needs to be said, then say it.
Well, you know, 1,900-yard passing, I think it's working, whatever it is that you do.
Well, let's just put it this way. When Jenny talks, people listen, because it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, well, I try and give her a couple of specific questions, because otherwise I don't think she's going to say too much. But like I said, the statistics speak for themselves. That's what you said, so we'll just go with that. All right, Megan, Rusty, which one of you guys wants to answer next?
Oh, I can go. I think at first, my first couple years, the most difficult thing was learning to play a sport where you actually had to think, because I was a soccer player for so long, and it's just run around like a moron and hit people, which actually worked out pretty well for me, because I started out only playing defense, which I just ran around like a moron and hit people. So, but learning the offensive side has definitely been a challenge for me, especially the spread offense and everything else, but luckily for me, I have great coaches and great teammates, and I've been able to pick up what I need to pick up and not get myself totally killed all the time.
Yeah, Deb, I'm not sure if you're aware, but we don't huddle at all. We do everything through hand signals. So it was a big, steep learning curve for everybody this year with the limited amount of practice time. Yeah, with the limited amount of practice time that we have to just be able to go down the field without ever uttering a word, it's been a big thing for us.
Wow. Now you get those from the sideline?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all signaled in from the sideline.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing. You know, there's a team out here on the West Coast, you might have heard of them, California Quake. Their record mm-hmm. isn't so great this year, but they've implemented, it looks like a hurry offense, which is similar to what you guys run, but all of their signals come in through these encrypted, like, little signs that they hold up. It looks like a domino threw up on a dice. I don't know what it is. But yeah. But anyway, it's amazing the difference that it made in their team. And so this is the first year you guys have run this?
Yeah, mm-hmm. This is the first year that we've run it.
I got to see you guys play. I'm drooling, but, you know, if you just get a little bit more details in your recaps, I'm sure that'd probably have to be you, though, maybe, huh? I'm adding to your job.
Yeah, I know. It's my fault. But the last couple have been a lot better. I've tried
better. I'm not complaining at all. I'm just saying it's supporting you from California is difficult. That's all I'm saying. So now, Rusty, we haven't heard from you about what you think is most difficult. I want to be fair about this. I mean, if you're all going to invest this time, I want to hear from all of you.
I would say just the time it takes. I mean, I know we should practice more, but when you have you work and, you know, start a small business, and I have a foster son, and it takes a lot of time away from him, traveling on the weekends and having practice and things like that, and then just physical side of it. I'm not the biggest player out there and not the youngest anymore. So the physical side is definitely starting to take its toll a little bit as well. So that would be...
How old is the little guy?
He'll be 8 on the 15th, actually.
Oh, so he's not so little.
Yeah.
He gets to go to the game?
He's been to practice with us tonight, actually. Yeah, he's been to most of the home games so far, when I can find somebody to watch him.
Yeah.
He's pretty honoring.
Oh, well, you know, no kid's worth their salt if they're not a little honoring.
Yeah, no, he's got that mastered.
I would guess, just from talking to you guys, that one of the better parts of the game is because of the camaraderie that you guys have managed to build over the couple, 3 years or whatever that you're playing, and then the lifetime of friendship that some of you have. You guys probably wouldn't be the same if you were playing with any other team. Would that be fair to say?
I probably wouldn't play if I wasn't playing with my friends. Yeah, for being honest, I probably wouldn't play if I wasn't playing with my friends.
And it's funny because we always talk about whether we're going to play next year or not, and we all know if one does, we all will. So it's kind of, Jimmy and I'll probably be 80 playing with Megan because she's still young. So.
Well, no, I sure wouldn't be playing if it wasn't with this group of idiots, that's for sure.
Who said that? Was that Jenny?
That was Jenny.
Did they have to talk you into playing, Jenny, or did you just watch it?
It took 3 years.
Yeah.
It took 3 years to talk her into playing.
So would you go and watch the game? Because you guys were friends for, what, probably 7 years?
Yeah, Jenny, you came to all our games.
The year before I played, 2 years ago, I came and watched most of their games, pretty much all their home games.
And so what made the difference? What finally got you into the game?
They just wore me down. I got tired of hearing it. I'm like, fine, I'll come and try it. And then they were going to be so mad at me if I didn't play. I was stuck, so.
Well, that's how Mindy and I got talked into playing also. We're playing co-ed flag football, and some of the girls that were on the team at the time emailed us, called us, and drove us insane until we just gave it a shot and then fell in love with it. I think that's kind of what gets you. You just go to practice. It's a fun game.
That's exactly what happened to me. It was a soccer player, Megan. A soccer player. And you know what? She was about 5'2", as a matter of fact. And she kept bugging me and bugging me. We played soccer together. We played, and she kept bugging me. I'm like, okay, I'll go to a practice. And, man, it took one practice. And it's,
yeah. I finished playing soccer in college, and a friend of mine I went to high school with played, and I got a hold of her and started playing, and that was it. Now look what I am.
Now let me ask you this, Megan. Would you, if you had a chance, you know, would you play soccer over football, or is football taking that numero uno spot?
That's a hard question because it's so much different. Jay and I actually play indoor soccer together on Wednesdays, so that kind of gets my soccer fix out of me. But it's so much different when you're used to running and hitting people as hard as you can, and then you start playing soccer again, and you have to tiptoe around it. So I think football's got my heart now, but I definitely miss playing soccer a lot.
Yeah. How about you, Jenny? What would you say? Has this taken the place of basketball as the number one spot?
Oh, I think basketball was always my first love and sport, but I think I'm past it, and I've really enjoyed football, and I'm obviously having a lot of fun this season, and I think right now I'm just enjoying football, so I'd say football is probably the priority at this point.
Basketball was my first love, but, man, when I played football, I couldn't compare. What about you, Rusty? What do you think?
Yeah, I played basketball
other sports,
in my life.
Right?
Yeah, well, I played basketball in my life, played all through college, and actually, football was my first love. I played all the time when I was younger, and actually broke my wrist playing football with all the boys in third grade, I believe. So I've always loved playing football, but basketball has, you know, been a sport that was available to me and fell in love with that. But very happy that I can, you know, live that dream of playing football. So.
Hey, Mindy?
Yeah, we were just upset that we didn't start playing when we were younger. I mean, we both started when we were 27. And we're like, God, why weren't we doing this when we were 15 or 16 and actually in shape and fast? Well, me, Rusty's still a little bit fast, but, you know, I got older and hippie and my speed just went away with that. But I would definitely say that the thing that I like the most about football is it's such an intellectual sport. I mean, it requires thought before every single play, and I think that so many people just get caught up in just the viciousness of it, and they don't really realize that more thought goes into a football play and, you know, that 40-second play clock than just about anything else out there. And you can also make up for a lot of lack of athleticism if you, you know, just get to know your opponent and you study him. I mean, it can really give you a leg up, and that's why I enjoy it so much. And also, I really enjoy hitting people. That's the best part of it.
I know. There's absolutely nothing in the world that feels any better than knocking the crap out of somebody.
There is it.
Yeah. It's the best.
Even better than that was running over them.
Yeah, that's true. Do you run back over, once they're down, do you run back over the top of them again?
I can't lie, I do sometimes.
Do they know it happens?
I'm the shit talker on the team, probably.
Yeah, Rusty had this is Mindy, but last weekend, Rusty had this one-handed interception right in front of the Chicago sideline. So she catches it, like rolls over, grabs the ball with one hand, makes sure they all see her, throws it back down on the ground, and then, like, struts off. It was classic.
And did you get that on film?
Oh, it's on the film.
A lot of time watching game film?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I said, do you guys spend a lot of time watching game film?
We have a two-hour film session once a week.
Yeah.
Megan's son died. If you have a question for her, I can hand her mine.
Oh, heard a beep. But I thought that was my phone. I'm checking it, seeing if I'm still recording. I don't even know what the maximum amount of recording time is. But I probably should let you guys go here. I don't know. It's a couple hours later there, so we're getting close to midnight, right?
It's only 10.
10 o'clock.
Yeah.
10. All right. I had another question, and I can't remember what it was. Well, I appreciate you guys play Wisconsin, and you've already beaten them once, and then you play the Vixen, right?
Right.
Correct.
Okay. So things are looking pretty good. Now, do you know if you're going to stay home or if you have to go away?
Well, unfortunately, we don't control our own destiny. We're in second place right now, but Los Angeles obviously just has the one game left with Sacramento, so if they win that game, they'll stay above us. And then the big kicker is the Chicago and Detroit game that last weekend of the year.
Yeah.
If Chicago wins that game, they'll probably jump back over us, even with two additional losses, just because of the level of their opponent, so which is really unfortunate. But then, you know, you look at a team like Seattle, who hasn't lost this year, and they're sitting in the fourth seed right now.
That's Matthew.
Yeah, as long as we win out, we should stay above Seattle, because both of our opponents that we play are ranked higher than their two final opponents. So we're looking at most likely a 2 or 3 seed. It all just depends on how the Chicago and Detroit game turns out. So we're hoping.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, you know, we're hoping that things turn out our way, because we sure would like to have a first round game at home.
Yeah. Well, it has been a true pleasure. I really appreciate you guys taking time out of your busy, hectic week to share with us and to talk with me. And I wish you nothing but the best of luck the rest of your season. And I would love it if you guys could make it and play in the final game, because I will get to see you play. Because I'm going to go to the play the championship game. So
How far away from Los Angeles are you?
From Los Angeles? Well, Long Beach, and it's, I don't know, maybe, we talk in time here, so it's like 30 minutes, but it's about, I don't know, 30, 40 miles. It's not too far.
Yeah, because there's a very good chance that we could end up in Los Angeles, too. So maybe you'll get to see it then.
If you guys play in the Amazon Stadium, I call their games.
Oh, okay. Well, then you might actually get to see us.
Yes, well, I hate to wish that upon you, but
I hate to wish it upon us too.
Yeah, why don't we just say you're going to play in the championship game, and then it'll be good.
I like that.
All right. Okay, well, thanks again, you guys. Have a great weekend this weekend. Travel safe and finish out your season strong. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much
for having us.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.